following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Hey everybody, it's Thursday, January 21st, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Welcome to 60 minutes of live interviews, news, talk, comedy, music, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. We're here every weekday, Monday through Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, and we're also blogging at stash.normal.org. Also joining us, my co-host in Astoria, Oregon, Cannabis Carrie.
Hey, Russ, you're looking mighty fine today. I like that tie.
Oh, thank you very much. Got the old orange shirt and the orange spotted tie. I can't say that my time spent in the corporate world didn't leave me with anything. I certainly got a nice wardrobe out of it.
Yeah, definitely.
Carrie's monitoring the chat room over at live.normal.org. So if you have any questions or comments, just get them into the chat room. Carrie will get them to me. And in the future, we are looking at having a... In the future, we are looking at having a live call-in number and a few phone lines. And once we get that installed, I'll make sure to let you all know. Today, we've got a great show for you today. We're going to be heading down to beautiful, sunny Southern California and visiting with Terry Joyce, a Hollyweed comedian. You may remember her from NBC's Last Comic Standing, season one. She was the blonde girl with the spiky blonde hair. She joins us on the first and third Thursdays of the month for the Southern California scene, giving us a taste of what it's like to be living in a place that has more marijuana dispensaries than Starbucks. Her guest today is Sean Green, another 420-friendly comedian. They'll be joining us for some talk and maybe a few jokes here and there as well. Also, today is our Groovin' Thursday for our Daily Toker Tunes, and John Doe from johndoeradio.com will be bringing us some great hip-hop music from Akir and a tune called Mood Music. And at the end of the show, we've got a special feature we haven't done on the live show yet, but we did it all the time on our old podcast, a little bit of Reefer Madness. Today, I'm taking a look at an interview that appeared on CBS News between Paul Chabot. He is a Republican running for the California Assembly. And it's about a three-minute span of Reefer Madness, and I'm going to give you about 7 minutes of debunking. So keep your pens and papers handy, because I'll give you all the quick sound bites you need to debunk these idiots when they come forth and they say the stupid things they say about marijuana. It's Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. We got to take a break, so we'll be right back. Make sure to patronize our sponsors so we can stay on the air.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal
medical disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Look, when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Remember, Mr. President, you once were just one bust away from being Barry the drug criminal.
Life ain't a box of chocolates gum. That's why people smoke weed and take bumps and drink way too damn much and get drunk.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
The Washington state lawmakers on the House Committee on Public Safety and Emergency Preparedness stepped in to kill a bill that would have made cannabis legal for adults in Washington state and also dumped a bill that would decriminalize possession. Lawmakers in Olympia, Washington, yes, voted down the two bills that were aimed at cannabis law reform yesterday. House Bill 2401 that sought to regulate cannabis in a way similar to alcohol was voted down 6-2. Representatives Sherry Appleton and Roger Goodman were the only two yes votes. House Bill 1177 was seeking to reclassify minor marijuana possession offenses to a fine-only civil infraction. Representative Al O'Brien added a yes vote on that one for a final of 3 yeses to 4 noes. Committee Chair Democrat Christopher Hurst alleged that as a state lawmaker, he is sworn to uphold both state and federal law and claimed that both proposals would be in violation of the Federal Controlled Substances Act. Now, Republican Brad Klippert says that he voted no because through his work as a police officer, he had seen the negative effect of cannabis on people's lives. Fellow Republican Kirk Pearson said that even opening up the discussion on the bill sends the wrong message to teenagers.
Yeah.
Democratic Representative Steve Kirby says that he supports the reforms in theory, but said that a change in policy should come from the voters, not the legislator. Representative Kirby may get his wish as normal legal committee member Douglas Hyatt has filed a petition to put marijuana legalization on the November 2010 state ballot. And a recent statewide poll shows that if the election was held today, it would most likely pass. Now, Senate Bill 5615, a companion bill to HB 1177, is still alive and awaiting action on the Senate floor. It would reduce penalties of minor cannabis possession to a monetary penalty of no more than $100. Normal is urging Washingtonians to contact their senator and urge them to vote yes on SB 5615. You can get more information, of course, at normal.org.
Oh, my God. Where to start on this? Well, first of all, kudos to Representative Roger Goodman. He's been the voice of sanity in the Washington legislature on all of these marijuana bills, marijuana issues. It's important for those of us who support marijuana law reform to send letters of encouragement and support to these legislators who stand on our side. We're really quick to send off the nasty email or the nasty note to the anti-marijuana people. We got to remember to thank the pro-marijuana people as well, or at least the pro-drug reform people. Maybe they're not pro-marijuana. I'm not going to speak for Roger Goodman in that respect. This idea, though, that we can't legalize marijuana or regulate marijuana because of the message it would send to the children. Well, what kind of message are we sending the children now about marijuana? The message we're sending now is that we're not going to do anything about it. We're just going to let criminals take care of it. We're going to let kids sell to kids inside of high schools. You know, there's 1 million teenage marijuana dealers in American high schools right now. Do you know how many teenage tequila dealers there are in high schools right now? Well, it ain't 1 million. It's probably not even 1,000. You know why? Because when adults want to get alcohol, they can go to a store and get alcohol. And the price of it is so realistic that there's really no profit in dealing it on the black market. And the people who sell tequila could lose their licenses and their businesses if they're caught selling to kids. Those of us who approve of ending adult marijuana prohibition have nothing but the best interest of the kids in mind. We don't like the way it's going right now either, where kids can find marijuana easier than they can find alcohol. This comes in study after study. 85% of high school seniors say they can find marijuana easier than they can find alcohol. Most of them say they can find it in an hour. Most of them say they can find it in a day, excuse me, and some of them even say they can find it with an hour. It is easier for an American high school kid to get his hand on quality marijuana than a doctor or a researcher in this country. That's what we're talking about when we want to change marijuana policy.
And in the compelling story we've been following, the Los Angeles City Council held their vote on Tuesday to review and vote on a city ordinance to limit medical cannabis dispensaries, an ordinance they have been trying to hammer out for the last 3 years. The City Council has been facing much criticism over the time they have taken to act. Their decision affects hundreds of businesses and employees, patients, and neighborhoods. The revised ordinance did pass on its first reading with 12 votes in favor and no votes opposed. This vote will close roughly 800 medical dispensaries in the city and require 75% of the remaining dispensaries to relocate, radically changing the landscape of the medical marijuana and cannabis landscape in Los Angeles. Dispensary owners, patients, and medical marijuana advocacy groups all say the bill is overly restrictive and relies on the false assumption that medical marijuana dispensaries are a magnet for crime and a menace to residential neighborhoods. Several speakers during the meeting alluded to L.A. Chief of Police Charlie Beck's comments last week that, quote, banks are more likely to be robbed than medical marijuana dispensaries, although Beck does support the present ordinance. If the ordinance takes effect later this spring, medical marijuana dispensaries will have to find locations more than 1,000 feet from various sensitive use areas such as churches, public parks, schools, rehab centers, and other dispensaries. They will also be required to grow all their cannabis on site, test it for pesticides, provide written notice of their existence to all neighbors within 1,000 feet, maintain 24-hour complaint hotlines, hire unarmed security guards to patrol a two-block radius, and keep 90 days of security footage, and also fulfill a number of other registration requirements with the city. Don Duncan, California Directory for Americans for Safe Access, urged that the new rules may be a de facto law against most of the facilities that would otherwise have qualified, since it fences off a significant amount of territory in which the dispensaries could locate. The vote will be confirmed in a second reading of the ordinance next Tuesday.
This is amazing. Restrictions like this, we don't put anything this strict on liquor stores. We don't put anything this strict on tobacco outlets. But yet, when it comes to marijuana, something that's safe and non-toxic and the least harmful possible therapeutic substance you could use, suddenly everybody goes crazy and comes up with all these ridiculous restrictions. First of all, this idea that you want to keep marijuana dispensaries 1,000 feet away from schools and churches and playgrounds and other dispensaries, I urge everyone to get yourself a free download of Google Earth. You can download Google Earth, and when you pull up Google Earth, it's got a whole bunch of checkboxes on the side of different things that you can show on the map. So zoom in on Los Angeles County, okay? Los Angeles County, about 10 million people, you know, very, very urban, of course. And then you can go to the checkboxes and start checking things like schools, parks, hospitals, and so on. All of these so-called sensitive use areas. And before you know it, that map is just pegged with all these schools and all these different parks and so on. And then Google Earth has another feature where you can pull out a ruler and map a line of how much distance there is between one item or another. And so what I've done is I've done this on the Stash blog many times at stash.normal.org, is take a picture of the city with all the schools and all the parks and everything and draw 1,000-foot circles around each one of the items. Pretty soon you find that there's virtually no place in Los Angeles County that you could set up a dispensary that wouldn't be within 1,000 foot of a school or a dispensary or another church and so on. And these other restrictions, I mean, things like the dispensaries are required to grow all their marijuana on site. Wasn't one of the problems that they kept saying about medical marijuana is that leads to all these break-ins because people are growing marijuana on site? So what, you want to make a more attractive place for people to hit? And it's not as if we have that same requirement for liquor stores, do we? A liquor store doesn't have to brew and distill all of its liquor on site, does it? Once again, we're seeing medical marijuana being treated as much more harmful than it really is, considering that it's hardly harmful at all.
And the New York Times is reporting a story about the frustrations of researchers to get permission to study medical cannabis. A professor of plant science at the University of Massachusetts has been trying to get permission from federal authorities for 9 years to grow a supply of the plant that he could study and provide to researchers for clinical trials. The DEA has refused, even after the agency's own administrative law judge ruled in 2007 that the application should be approved. Marijuana is the only major drug for which the federal government controls the only legal research supply, and the University of Mississippi grows the nation's only federally approved marijuana. If they wish to investigate marijuana, researchers must apply to the National Institute on Drug Abuse to use the Mississippi marijuana and must get approvals from a special public health service panel, the Drug Enforcement Administration, and the Food and Drug Administration. Researchers investigating LSD, ecstasy, and other illegal drugs can use any number of suppliers licensed by the DEA. If a researcher wants to use a variety of cannabis that the University of Mississippi does not grow, well, they're out of luck, even though patients know that there are many different strains that work differently on their symptoms. The Food and Drug Administration in 1985 approved Marinol, a prescription pill of marijuana's active ingredient, THC. Although a few small-scale studies done decades ago suggest that smoked marijuana may prove effective when Marinol does not, no conclusive research has confirmed this finding. Until there is a major policy shift, the critics of medical marijuana can always use the weapon that there is just no scientific evidence that legalizing cannabis use could provide any benefits over current therapies.
Yeah, this is something that we cover a lot here at Normal Show Live, and I've talked to Paul Armentano about it, Normal's deputy director, and it's this phenomenon where the National Institutes of Drug Abuse control the supply of marijuana. If you're a scientist, if you're a researcher, and you want to get a hold of some of this marijuana, or you want to get a grant from NIDA to study marijuana, they will not approve your grant if within your grant you are saying anything about finding out how good marijuana is. If you're trying to figure out the medical efficacy, the scientific value of marijuana, something that might turn out to be positive, they won't give you the grant money. Now, if you come to them and ask for a grant to study how awful marijuana is and how it's going to lead to teenage heroin addicts and stuff like that, boy, that money is quick to come. That's really quick. And this is shown in the reporting on marijuana as well. When we look at the mainstream media, whenever a story comes out that alleges some terrible harm of marijuana, the next thing you know, it's in 200 different media outlets the very next day. But if there's a study that comes out and says something like, oh, I don't know, 10 to 20 years of marijuana use is associated with the reduced risk of head and neck squamous cell carcinoma, which we'll be getting to at the end of the show. I'll tell you more about that. But when you have a great story like that, it gets picked up in maybe 2-3 media outlets, right? So there is this concerted effort to squash all of the good information about marijuana and its medical efficacy, because they know if unbiased scientific researchers were allowed to study it, they would discover that it is the wonder drug that works wonders. If marijuana were just discovered in a South American rainforest a year ago, researchers would be trumpeting what an amazing medicine this is, how incredible it is, how many different effects that it can have, and how many different diseases and symptoms that it can relieve. But because it's coming with all this cultural Cheech and Chong baggage of being a deadly illegal drug, we have all these restrictions against it, and an effort to thwart the science, to deny the true information the people deserve about this wonderful plant. So whenever they tell you there's not enough scientific research to justify that marijuana is something good for us, remember, it's because they won't let the scientific research happen. All right, we got to take a break. It's just about 20 after the hour. Everybody in the East Coast, enjoy your 420 with us out here on the West Coast. We'll take a break, too. We'll be right back with more Normal Show Live.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would tell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well-trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
Hi, this is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. We are the oldest, largest, and best-known marijuana law reform organization in America, and it's all because of your support. Take some time to join Normal at www.normal.org. Your membership supports this podcast, our websites, our policy research and analysis, and our annual conferences. Changing marijuana laws is a grassroots effort, and it starts with you, the stakeholder. Join Normal today and add your voice to the millions of cannabis consumers who demand equality with our beer-drinking friends.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Groovin' Thursday, our salute to all the dopest beats and killer rhymes that we find in the best of rap, hip-hop, soul, R&B, and funk. Brought to you by the John Doe Radio Show, accurate and informative marijuana reform news and entertainment. Available on the THC Media Network and johndoeradio.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great...
John Doe.
I'm John Doe with your Groovin' Thursday tune. Sometimes you feel like you're in the zone when you hear a certain tune. When you flip on a Cure's mood music, the feeling is instantaneous for a true fan of classic hip-hop. One fat joint lit up at the beginning of this tune, toked all the way through, will have your head bounce into the beat and the classic sample that's included. Akira's name stands for always keeping it real, and it seems with more listens to his tunes, that name certainly fits. The lyrics of his hip-hop songs and those of Immortal Techniques, the hip-hop artist who presented Akira to a larger music audience, reflects a deep social and cultural divide between some of us and the world. Themes of poverty, social class, and racism bleed deep in their songs, and what is produced from it is a very heartfelt and rich point of view of political and social topics. The commentary doesn't just stop with words and beats on a music track, though. Akira and others close to the label Viper Records are currently working with at-risk youth teaching writing, production, recording, and sharing the knowledge that sometimes does not come in the classroom. Akira has two albums out, and the song Mood Music is off his latest album, Legacy. Enjoy this fast-rising artist sent to me by the good people at Viper Records and your Groovin' Thursday tune. I'm John Doe. See ya.
It's yours truly, Akira, one of the prizes. Southpaw, what up? I'm taking over this year, man. More music. Yo. Yo. Hey, yo, my music for the movie, the sidewalk. I talk ebonics, smoke chronics, and drink food tonic. Until I throw bionic off the hydroponics. Some niggas never mastermind us. See the face for how they act around us. People ask about us. I never try to be something it ain't me. Never plan to be Tupac, Biggie, and Jay-Z. Even though their lives are amazing and share their occupation. Never want to stand the major while we're shopping at Macy's. wanna have a wife and babies. Supporting them from endeavors that consistently pay me. Real estate investments and a big Mercedes, maybe something a little shady. Not to Johnny, come lately, take me. As I come and when I breeze, you wish you can imitate me. Or autograph picture of a mixtape. He's in the things, don't need to show it through some chains of rings. When I get it, I handle my business just like a king. To bling bling ain't a thing to be bragging. Niggas with things fiend for a chance at your baggies. Not to be cling cling to a cop daddy wagon. A lock a sing sing for something that just happened. A rapper holds a pageant like a pirate ship captain. Plus a nice package, so I'm going ghetto platinum. Niggas don't stacking, but I'm passing out ratchets. Trying to stand in classes like a last for my class.
I'm the microphone and left it in cement. I'm on my game, my hustle and my grind, you know.
Yeah, cause I'm a money getter.
Been surprising, advising.
Cut the microphone, you know.
Left it in submission. Yeah, after they witness me, known for my energy.
Cause I'm a money getter.
Been surprising, advising.
Leave me in the deck.
Yo, they ask me how I'm doing with the music. Enthused, I'm turning down development deals. It confused minds, a new fauna, intoxicating like moonshine. Cinematic, dramatic, the actors with my new love. Pictures of an eye shot, away from a non-glock. From a slide pop, sewer sun in the pine box. Watch the soul escape out his eyes while the spine rocks. Never saw it coming like a running to the crime spot. Direct reporting live on the block with crimes hot. It is I care to flow and just love it. This chick jocks my dick in public, get the show and cover it. My music, so you dub it. All type of people love it, so my style is hard to fuck with. Cousin got the street buzzing on site for budget. Budgeting, I pour to my thuggin' against the current. Coming, yo, you must be bugging. Beats banging, G, your brain gets bludgeoned. It's nothing, right into my fingertips sunken. 7 years in the making, no fake all of a sudden. Got my niggas in the back, refuse to see me frontin'. Still humping like an X-rated old time. Yeah. Fuck
you. I'm on my game, my hustle and my grind, you know.
Yeah, cause I'm a money getter.
Been surprising, advising.
Cut the microphone, you know.
In submission. Yeah, after they witness me, known for my imagery.
You better ask somebody.
It's a positive advisor.
Leave me in the deck too long, I blow up your body.
You stay first, I never try to be like Nas. See, I'm my own man, respect to that nigga though, Paul. It's the same thing they used to do to him with Rod. Take it as a compliment and nod as I hit the top. Thinking I'ma stop like the blinking lights on the top of a cop car. Undercover brother, son of a bad motherfucker, hitting the curves. Utter these words, ridiculous. For my chicks in the thick of it. Niggas in the thick. Get calm dicks on a long sits in a tight predicament. Kids taking wrong hits, typing on the internet. Entertainment, introspect, a little pain with banging sex. As opposed to stocking hits to describing into robberness. While I'm scribing hits, I think about those surviving in these wild environments. Inspiring, tired, still hoping that they hiring. How could I get mad at niggas bootleg pirating? But if you like it and you find it again, bring a friend and make amends when y'all niggas both drop 10. While I pretend like I'm on when I ain't, I still hustle for cash money. Family's gas money in the tank. Voila, shit, prices are high. 1 for 7, 2 for 10, you and your man got 5. What up, pop, you gon' buy shit, cause here comes 5. I got a job, tryna eat and stay alive. Not tryna deal with these fines, yo.
I subdued the microphone and left it in submission.
Southpaw, my right hand man, and the strike of the band.
You don't know, you better ask somebody.
My hustle and my grind, you know.
Cause I got to get my props, and then let's go.
This shit is nuts,
you better ask somebody. Leave me in the deck. Long, I blow up
the bottom. Shout out for my right hand man, had him strike up the band.
I struck the microphone, you know, fire. Leave me in the deck too long, I blow up the bottom. Blow, blow, bop, bop. Blow, blow, bop, bop. Blow, blow, bop, bop.
And now, a message from former President George W. Bush
to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American citizens, non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no, it's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can.
All right, Radical Russ here with Normal Show Live. We're back just a second here with Terry Joyce and Sean Green.
I've said some silly thing, and that's the reason why.
Weed.
That's the Weed Valley, hoo-wee-ha.
Weed.
Where any office boy or young mechanic.
Now
it's time for a report from the epicenter of American cannabis culture with our Southern California correspondent. You know her from ComedyNation.com and her appearance as a finalist on season one of NBC's Last Comic Standing. It's our friend, cannabis comedian and marijuana activist, the lovely and talented Terry Joyce.
Hey, Terry, Radical Russ, how you doing, darling?
Hello!
We're live and direct.
I'm doing good. I know, it's so exciting.
I know, we're very, very excited. So what are you up to down there in Southern California?
Well, right now I'm on the corner of I'm in Westwood at a Coffee King Beanley. It's raining down here. And it's also been kind of raining on the medical marijuana community.
Yeah, what's up?
We had our court ordered on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And they're in the sack. You know, we kind of lost the fight on this one.
Yeah, we reported on that just a little bit earlier, this new initiative, this ordinance, I'm sorry, that they're trying to put through in there. They had things like, you know, you have to set up 1,000 feet away from, you know, anybody and a bunch of other stuff. What's most troubling about this this new ordinance?
Well, it's definitely restricting, what we're doing, and also it seems like there's a part where it talks about employees and what their compensation is going to be and control on the money aspect of it. And I really think that personally bothers me, being that we live in a world where there's such, you know, corporation and money surrounding our healthcare industry. Why can't those that are cultivating marijuana at least have, enough to be abundant, you know?
Yeah. And especially, you know, when we saw this report from the LAPD chief, he was looking at, you know, the claims of the opponents that, oh my God, all these medical marijuana dispensaries, they lead to crime and bad neighborhoods. And he actually found that, you know, the medical marijuana dispensaries aren't leading to a bunch of crimes, that the banks are, you know, more likely to be leading to crimes. And I also found it was quite interesting that he didn't mention, you know, the crime associated with, you know, say liquor stores or convenience stores. What's been your experience? You're down there amongst all those dispensaries. What's it like when you go into a dispensary, and what are the neighborhoods like?
Well, I go to the pharmacy, which is my favorite dispensary, and it's a beautiful neighborhood. It's right in the heart of West Hollywood. As a matter of fact, we are near a school, and I went to the city council meeting. That was an issue a while back when they were doing zoning, and the school actually spoke on behalf of the pharmacy and how they were an asset to the community. And from principal letters to teachers to every, you know, to parents.
Yeah.
So, no, it's absolutely wonderful. It's like a little healing center. And they have all kinds of different herbs that you can get for other elements other than marijuana, which is also good. And I think that is, to me, they are the store of the future and the now.
Yeah, excellent. And
I've been reading a lot of Eckhart Tolle.
I agree. We're speaking with Terry Joyce, who's down there in Southern California right at the moment, and she's an activist working not just on medical marijuana, but on other issues of civil justice and equal rights. Tell us what you're doing lately with Equality for California.
Well, I've been fundraising for Equality California for gay and lesbian marriage, and that has been really interesting. Every day someone's willing to tell me to go to hell, and that I'm going to hell, and shame on me. Yeah. I'm working on the fight for equality for gay marriage, because it's an embarrassment that Iowa has it legal and California allowed it not to be legal.
Yeah.
By voting on it. But right now, they're at the Supreme Court fighting it, and perhaps it will be, they'll find Proposition 8 illegal. But even if that does happen, they're going to appeal it anyway. So it looks like it's going to be a longer fight for equality for all people here.
Yeah, well, we wish you the best of luck on those fights. And Terry always brings us guests from Southern California to give us more perspective on what's happening in the scene down there. Who's joining us today, Terry?
Well, I have my friend Sean Green. He's a very funny comedian. He's a regular on ComedyNation.com. He does the free speech show, and he has a different slant on marijuana. Also, as you know, we have also what's going to be on the ballot next year is that we're going to have it to be prohibition lifted off of marijuana in the state of California, and we're going to allow voters to vote on it now. And Sean has his humorous take on this event.
All
Sean
right.
Green.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on, Radical Russ. First, I'd like to say, Carrie, you're going to hell for trying to legalize gay marriage. And I know that, a lot of people, I smoke marijuana. I enjoy it. And, everyone wants to legalize it or tax it or whatever. But, I think part of why I like it is that the government isn't involved. Obviously decriminalize it, but I like the idea that, it's its own subculture that operates totally, separate from the government, where, you can get a bag of weed, there's no tax on it, it's just you, buying from your local friend there. I mean, look at the bureaucracy that they've thrown on the post office or the DMV. I can only imagine the hell if it was legalized, if we had to go through the same process. Like, you have to go, get a license, wait in a line, deal with weed registration and all this other kind of bureaucracy that I'm sure they would throw on it.
Yeah.
And, it just becomes, especially in California, the problem isn't that we're raising enough taxes, it's that we're, throwing all this money away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then it's just going to become, marijuana's going to become the next thing, we're short on the budget. All right, tax the stoners. It's just going to become that kind of thing. Like, I could just see it being an easy tax out for the state.
Yeah, that points out why it's so important that when we go forward on these initiatives with legalization or decrim or medical or whatever, that we allow people the right to grow their own at home without interference, right? If you're going to grow, 1,000 plants in your basement and try to sell them on the market, I can see, some government involvement. But man, if you're just a guy who wants to grow 2 or 3 plants for your own personal use and maybe share with your friends, there's no need for the government to get involved in that.
Right, exactly.
I agree with
but
you.
Yeah, I mean,
that's on the law too, as well. That you can not only can you buy it, but you can also grow it. I just can't wait for, if this happens, wouldn't it be great if it was, we could have a cafe like Amsterdam, Wouldn't that just be, it would be better not to go to a bar for once and actually be able to, go listen to music and, just smoke weed.
Yeah,
that sounds great to me.
Yeah, we've got something kind of similar up here in Oregon with the cannabis cafe that they opened up. Of course, it's only open up to medical marijuana patients. But yeah, there's no alcohol. There's no tobacco. Just people with vaporizers or joints or bongs or pipes, all medical marijuana patients. And God, it's like, how you always watch shows like Cheers, and they'd always these nice, well-lit bars and everybody was friends and there was never any fights and everybody was lovely. That's what a cannabis cafe is like. Not an alcohol bar, I can assure you of that. What do you think about that, Sean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, in Cheers, they don't show guys throwing up on all over the place and stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, obviously, marijuana is a much, not benign drug compared to all this stuff. I guess my only argument for keeping it illegal is that, I like the aspect of keeping it illegal. It's still, it makes me seem like kind of a rebel, makes me seem like a badass with chicks and stuff. I don't listen to the government and whatever, I feel like, legalizing it, yeah, it'd be great in a lot of aspects, but, kind of takes the edge of my game, I feel like.
I see. Now, as a comedian, working down there in L.A., is a lot of your set related to marijuana, or do you consider yourself, a pot comedian or a broader, is that just a part of your act?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not the Tommy Chong up there, that's my whole shtick, but yeah, I mean, I'll talk about marijuana or whatever, I'll throw it in there or touch on different stuff, but, yeah, especially being in L.A., it's just kind of a commonplace thing. People smoke a joint outside before the show or something. I mean, I'm sure a decent portion of my audience is a little high or something. As the comedian, that's definitely helpful that people like to get baked before the shows, but I'll talk about it, but, I would say I focus a lot on just, current events or stuff kind of going on in my life, which can involve marijuana. So.
Right on, right on. And has this ever been problematic for you? Have you ever had any issues with law enforcement or club owners that didn't like what you were saying or anything like that regarding marijuana?
Oh, out in L.A., no, it's been fine. But I got arrested a couple times in Pennsylvania, where I used to live before I came out here to do stand-up. I still remember the first time I got arrested, it was for... I remember I was driving, and, you know, I had a bull in the car. I was a teenager or whatever, and I saw that a cop had someone else already pulled over. And in my head, I was like, all right, I can either make a right before here, or I can keep going past the cop. And I was like, all right, should I go right? Should I drive past? Should I go right? Should I drive past? What I did was I kind of went right, and at the last second, just barely juked out the cop. So, you know, that was, I guess, sign to pull me over. I got pulled over, got arrested. I got arrested for, you know, two separate times for just for having a bowl and, like, you know, under a gram. It cost like $800 and had to go through all this stuff. So, yeah, I mean, just in general, California has been much more relaxed attitude-wise and everything.
All right. I'm getting a breaking news story here coming across the LA Times blog that says the California Supreme Court has stricken down limits on how much medical marijuana a patient can possess. Terry, have you heard anything about this Supreme? I believe it's the Kelly decision.
No, actually, this is new news to me. This is new news. I know that what we're going to put on the ballot is that they want to make it so that someone can have an ounce on them legally if we do legalize marijuana across the board. But I did not know that there's been a change in the medical marijuana community or for medical marijuana patients.
All right. That's a breaking news story. California Supreme Court's come out with their decision on People v. Kelly. This was a decision, if I'm remembering it correctly, where California's legislature passed SB 420. Yes, that was the actual number of the bill, SB 420, that sought to put limits on how much people could possess. And if I'm reading this headline right, it seems like the California Supreme Court has declared that unconstitutional, that they can't put limits like the SB 420. We'll report on that further on tomorrow's Normal Show Live. Sean, did you have any info on that?
Oh, yeah, I was just saying, I think their whole argument that they're using was that it was a constitutional right that you couldn't, you know, limit how much medicine someone could hold, and that if, you know, the California decided that this is a legit form of medicine, that they, you know, wouldn't able to limit it. So I think that's what they were arguing it about.
Yeah, I think you're right. It has to do with when the citizens pass an initiative, only the citizens can amend it, and the legislature can't go in and start tinkering around with it. Again, we'll take a better look at that on tomorrow's Normal Show Live. Sean, before we let you go, I want to give you a chance to tell folks, if they want to catch your comedy either online or live, how can they get a hold of Sean Green?
All right. Well, it's pretty easy. You just go to SeanTGreen.com. And, I do a weekly one-hour talk show called The Green Room, so you can get all the information about that on there, and it has my stand-up dates. So, just check that out, SeanTGreen.com.
And is that Sean? It's S-E-A-N, Sean?
Yeah, S-E-A-N-T-G-R-E-E-N.
All right.
Com.
Fantastic. And Terry, how about yourself? Any places people are going to be able to catch you?
Well, you know, I'm going to be at John Lovett's Comedy Club in Universal City Walk area on Thursday. I'm going to be doing the Dope Show with Jeffrey Peterson, and I also will be signing a DVD of the adult film that I wrote and I'm in. Actually, we had 7 AVN Award nominations. I went to the AVN Awards a couple weeks ago.
Oh, that's for Hardcore Circus, right?
We're going to be doing a live tour. I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said that's for Hardcore Circus, right?
Hardcore Circus, yeah. I'll be signing the DVDs for that and gearing up to go on a live tour in Europe, actually. It's starting in May, which is really exciting. And we'll be going to Amsterdam. You know, I asked if I wanted to go to Amsterdam. It's like, do you want to go to heaven? But you can, you know what I mean? Like, of course. But you can check me out at comedian.com. Just did a free speech show, which should be up in about a week. And also the week before, and I did a set on Gay and Lesbian Marriage, too, so check that out.
All right. Check out Terry Joyce on ComedyNation.com, Sean Green on SeanTGreen.com. I want to thank you both for joining us here on Normal Show Live, and we'll get the chance to talk to you again in a couple Thursdays. Can't wait till you go to Amsterdam, Terry. We'll get you on the show live from Amsterdam. That'll be a lot of fun. Coming up after the break,
Reefer Madness.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Been busted? Need a lawyer? Call the Normal Legal Committee for an attorney near you. Find one at norml.org. Remember, attorneys are cheaper than a lifelong criminal drug record.
It's that freedom. Freedom. I'm free to do
it. Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
That's right, it's time for Reefer Madness, our segment where we examine the statements by leading prohibitionists and we tear them down one by one. On CBS News yesterday, a man by the name of Paul Chabot from the Drug Free America Foundation, I believe that's his affiliation, maybe it was Drug Free California, whatever, was on CBS News interviewing about medical marijuana in the state of California and the idea of taxing and regulate marijuana for all adults in order to raise money for the state. We're going to tackle that right now. Let me start with his first opening statement about marijuana versus tobacco and health costs.
California is really hurting for money, and so what do the pro-drug folks do? They try to find a wedge issue with this to say, look, the state of California can make a few million bucks here and there. The reality is quite the opposite. A new study out of Columbia University, CASA, shows that for every $1, for example, that you would collect off, say, tobacco, you're going to have $8.56 to clean up the societal health care costs.
All right. Well, first of all, Paul, it's not a few million here and there, unless you count 1,400 millions as a few millions. The California Board of Equalization has estimated that $1.4 billion would be raised by regulating marijuana. Now, also, you are absolutely right that for every $1 in tobacco taxes, there are $8.50 in health costs, because smoking tobacco is really, really bad for you. 400,000 Americans die annually from tobacco-related illnesses compared to how many for cannabis? Oh, right, zero. I can walk into any hospital and find you a dozen people there solely because of tobacco smoking. I dare you to find me just one in the hospital solely for cannabis smoking. And if there is a social cost from cannabis use, it's going to be far less than that of alcohol, tobacco, or even caffeine in our society. And we're already paying those costs now, right? And we're taking in zero in tax dollars to mitigate those costs. 22 million Americans smoke pot now, and an estimated 4 million Californians smoke pot now. In order for the social cost argument to make any sort of sense, $1.4 billion worth of new pot smokers would have to take up the habit following legalization. Even if pot smoking went up 20%, and that's quite a stretch to imagine, but if pot smoking went up 20%, each of the 1 million new California tokers would have to cost California $1,400 each just to break even on tax revenue. Now, for comparison's sake, a recent study in Canada found the health costs of every smoker to be $800 annually. For drinkers, it's $165 annually. And for cannabis users, it's just $20 per year.
Well, we already know that marijuana and tobacco have a lot of the same cancer-causing carcinogens, but now marijuana also has THC in front of it. So the bottom line is, whatever tax revenue we're going to gain from selling pot to our kids and community is going to be far outweighed 8 times by the cost that we're going to have to put out there cleaning up all these societal health care costs.
All right. First of all, any burning vegetable matter, whether it's tobacco, cannabis, or a campfire, shares some of the same carcinogenic hydrocarbons. It's a side effect of combustion, not the plant material. That's why so many patients now prefer to vaporize or eat their cannabis medicine, but you never seem to mention that. However, what tobacco and campfires don't have are THC and CBD, both of which are non-toxic and have been shown to have antitumoral properties. A recent study in the Journal of Cancer Prevention Research concluded, quote, 10 to 20 years of marijuana use was associated with a significantly reduced risk of head and neck cancers, end quote. And Dr. Donald Tashkin studied marijuana smokers for 30 years, seeking to find a link between cannabis use and lung cancer and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and in 2006 told the Washington Post, quote, we hypothesized there would be a positive association between marijuana use and lung cancer, and that the association would be more positive with heavier use. What we found instead was no association between cannabis use and lung cancer and COPD at all, and even a suggestion of some protective effect. Dr. Tashkin later told McClatchy News, quote, early on, when our research appeared as if there would be a negative impact on lung health, I was opposed to legalization because I thought it would lead to increased use, and that would lead to increased health effects. But at this point, I would be in favor of legalization. So that's the leading government researcher trying to come up with a link between marijuana and lung cancer, and he supports legalization.
Prop 215, which was passed in 1996 by a marginal 55% of the voters, was the initiative that allowed for this medicinal marijuana. But what people voted for was compassion, and they thought they were going to help out the most seriously terminally ill patients.
Uh-huh. Let's just go to the actual documents when Prop 215 was on the ballot in 1996. First of all, the initiative itself said, quote, seriously ill Californians have the right to obtain and use marijuana for medical purposes where that medical use is deemed appropriate and has been recommended by a physician who has determined that the person's health would benefit from the use of marijuana in the treatment of cancer, anorexia, AIDS, chronic pain, spasticity, glaucoma, arthritis, migraine, or any other illness for which marijuana provides relief. 56% of the people supported that language. The 1996 California ballot pamphlet on Prop 215 read in part, quote, exempts patients and defined caregivers who possess or cultivate marijuana for medical treatment recommended by a physician from criminal laws which otherwise prohibit possession or cultivation of marijuana. Nothing in there about terminally ill people. The write-up by the legislative analyst in 1996 said, quote, the measure provides for the use of marijuana when a physician has determined that the person's health would benefit from its use for any illness for which marijuana provides relief. The 1996 argument in favor of Prop 215 on the ballot said, marijuana doesn't just help cancer patients, and lists a whole bunch of things, including chronic pain, that it would help. And even the argument against Prop 215 said, Prop 215 does not restrict the use of marijuana to AIDS, cancer, glaucoma, and other serious illnesses. And yet, 56% of the people supported exactly that language.
San Diego, for example, the San Diego District Attorney has done a study showing that less than 2% of those who are smoking marijuana have any kind of a significant illness. So right now, 98% of people, statistically, San Diego, big county, are doing it just to get high.
The 2% of San Diegans that Chabot is referring to are the people that are listed for using medical marijuana for cancer and AIDS. Apparently, Paul doesn't consider people suffering the pain and spasticity of multiple sclerosis, cerebral palsy, or amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, Lou Gehrig's disease, to have significant illnesses. People going blind from glaucoma or racked with the pain of migraines don't have significant illnesses.
You live in a community, and in a community you share our roads, you're teaching our students, you're driving our school buses, you're flying our planes, you're driving the big rigs down those roads. And so we have rules and responsibilities here, and we really need to mitigate that the best we can. We don't need to open up Pandora's box by allowing another substance in, which we know is only going to cause more harm in our community.
So how is it that within our community, we allow school bus drivers and airplane pilots the choice of using alcohol and other impairment-producing prescription medications? It's not a Pandora's box we're opening. Marijuana is already here, right? It's not as if nobody's using marijuana and suddenly when we legalize it, everyone's going to use it. if someone is going to be irresponsible and drive a school bus high, they're doing it now. Prohibition is not stopping them.
How do we regulate this, and how do we treat people who are driving high if we go forward with this? Well, that's an easy one to shoot down, because if you're going to pull somebody over and they've smoked marijuana, you can't tell whether they smoked marijuana an hour ago or 2 or 3 weeks ago. We just don't know. With alcohol, we can tell your blood alcohol level, where you're at, and how long it's been. With marijuana, either you do or you don't have it in your system. So to bring in the argument that we can start testing people and seeing how they're driving really isn't realistic.
How do we bust people for driving high now? Chabot is referring to the use of urinalysis to determine whether someone has inactive THC, carboxy THC metabolites in their system, which do not prove impairment and can remain in the system for weeks. That's true. However, there are blood tests which can fairly reasonably determine recent marijuana use, and new technologies are arriving that analyze saliva or armpit sweat, really armpit sweat, to determine recent use. Finally, there's always the good old-fashioned roadside sobriety test, you know, actually testing someone to see if they're impaired, not what they may or may not have ingested.
My heart goes out to anybody dealing with a terminal illness. That's, I mean, who am I to tell them how to feel or how not to feel? Very, very important.
Exactly. Who are you to tell anybody, terminally ill or not, how to feel or how not to feel? What, if someone's dying and smoking a non-toxic herb, you're okay with it? But if they're healthy, you're going to have to lock them up in a cage to keep us all safe? Jesus.
But what we have to understand is that the pro-drug lobby has stood on the backs of these sick people since 1996, ushering them out there in front of cameras to say this is why we need medicinal marijuana.
Pro-drug lobbyists? We're not pro-drug lobbyists. We're pro-marijuana. Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, GlaxoSmithKline, Roche, Sanofi, Aventis, Novartis, AstraZeneca, Abbott Laboratories, Merck, Wyeth, Bristol Myers, Squibb, Eli Lilly. Those are your pro-drug lobbyists with a combined $392 billion in annual revenues and 2.3 lobbyists for every lawmaker on Capitol Hill. You want to call us normal with less than $1 million budget and 9 paid staffers the massive pro-drug lobby? Give me a break. Oh, and by the way, I'm still waiting for the first medical marijuana patient to beg me to stop fighting for medical marijuana laws because she felt she was being used. Hasn't happened yet.
What we know already is that there are much better drugs out there than a crude weed that is smoked with over 400 cancer-causing carcinogens. Not to mention there's already a legitimate drug out there called Marinol, which has THC, tetrahydrocannabinol, in concentrated, approved Federal Drug Administration form. A new drug is coming out, we learned, called Sativex. So because of this, we stand against smoked marijuana. We think it's not the right thing. It might make you feel better, but some people will say, you know, having a swig of whiskey in the morning makes them feel better as well.
All right. First of all, marijuana does not have 400 carcinogens. It has 400 or so constituent chemicals, 64 of which are cannabinoids, and which don't even become carcinogenic compounds unless the marijuana is burned. Not eaten or vaporized, just burned. Number two, Marinol is 100% pure synthetic THC. And people like you, Paul, are constantly complaining about this new super potent pot, some of which is 20% THC. And you got to eat a Marinol pill. When you eat THC, the Delta-9 THC, when ingested, converts to 11-hydroxy-THC, which is far more psychoactive than smoked cannabis. And, unlike smoked cannabis, lacks the cannabidiol that acts as an anti-psychoactive and mitigates the psychoactivity of Delta-9 THC. In other words, Marinol will get you far higher than smoked cannabis, and it's a paranoid, anxious, terrible high. As for the sip of whiskey comment, well, let me just quote the American Medical Association. Quote, short-term controlled trials indicate that smoked cannabis reduces neuropathic pain, improves appetite and caloric intake, especially in patients with reduced muscle mass, and may relieve spasticity and pain in patients with multiple sclerosis. End quote. Furthermore, the report urges, quote, the Schedule I status of marijuana to be reviewed with the goal of facilitating clinical research and development of cannabinoid-based medicines and alternative delivery methods. So, For my money, I think I'm going to trust the doctors of the American Medical Association over the paranoid, prohibitionist ravings of somebody from the Drug-Free California Association. That is Mr. Paul Chabot. If you'd like all of the hyperlinks to the studies that I've just mentioned in this piece, check out stash.normal.org. The post is up there with all of the details you need to debunk your average prohibitionist. I'm Radical Russ for Cannabis Carry, and everyone, join us tomorrow on Normal Show Live. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it out one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you run it.